Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Good morning. Well, we're going to talk today about God's end game. It's a big story, so get ready. Here we go. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's 1 Corinthians 11:24. You know, there are a lot of people in our societies who are truly broken. And then there are many who, absorbed with their own self-obsession, are always playing the victim card for everyone to pity them. Of course, broken people often are the victims of a terrible event or circumstance. And there are so many kinds of brokenness, partly because our societies, our faith, our relationships are themselves so broken. Often, it tends to isolate us emotionally, doesn't it? Jesus knew that in his own brokenness, he was truly alone among men. He was forsaken for us. You know, the psalmist put it prophetically of him in Psalms 69:20. "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." But Christ also said in John 8, verse 29, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." So while men rejected him, Jesus took comfort in the Father's presence, which was continuous until the cross, where he carried all our sins and as a result was alienated from the Father temporarily. There he cried out. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's Matthew 27:46. That's meaningful for us because we know that his ultimate brokenness, being forsaken by the Father, was swallowed up in victorious resurrection from the grave. He busted the chains of death and depression and defeat for us all. And as a result, we have such wonderful promises as Psalms 34:18 that says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." And Psalms 51:17 that says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Yes, he knows the pain of brokenness, and he knows you. If you will believe in him, what he did for all of us on Calvary, and that he rose again, he will live within you and sustain you. In fact, it is in your brokenness that he will shine through. As a matter of fact, there's a story in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7, that pictures this beautifully. It's all about Gideon. And, you know, I'll paraphrase. "While hiding in a wine press, the angel of the Lord approached him and commissioned him to lead the army of Israel to defeat the hordes of Midianites and Amalekites who were invading." Gideon swallowed hard, so to speak, but he obeyed. He amazingly gathered together 32,000 soldiers. But God told him they were too many. Gideon swallowed hard again and again, until finally, after sending most of the troops home, he was left with just 300 men. All the masses of enemy troops were in the valley, like the sand by the sea, the Bible says, virtually innumerable. Well, during the night, Gideon gave clay pots to all of his men, which each held lit torches inside. He divided them into three groups of 100 and instructed them to surround the valley on the hills, and upon his signal, break those pots and hold them high, sound their trumpets, and shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" Well, this crazy battle tactic worked, as when they did this, the hordes of the enemy, in terrifying fear, turned on each other and then fled wildly, with the whole army of Israel now in pursuit. The battle was won. The punchline here is that when the pots were broken, the light shined forth. And that's what can happen with us as well, in our own brokenness. Jesus in us can shine forth if we let him. Hey, that's not the whole story. Brokenness can be a blessing, but brokenness is not the end. In the Gospel of John, we read, this is John 5, 2 through 9, it says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said to him, get this, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You see, we are all broken. We are born broken. We are born in sin and born to die. Of course, we also experience things in life that can break us physically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. But God's plan of redemption is not to leave us that way. It's to make us whole. Not just better, not just repaired, not just refreshed, but whole, new, wonderfully new. And the kicker is that this redemption is not just for us, not just for mankind. It's for the entirety of creation, seen and unseen, heaven and earth. The Bible says, and I'll read it to you from Revelations 21, 3 through 5. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, and the former things, they've passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And from Isaiah 65, 17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." 2 Peter 3:13 says, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And Paul complemented all of that with Romans chapter 8. He said in verses 19 through 22, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. You see, the whole story is the story of everything being made whole in Christ. After turning away from the promised land in cowardice, the Hebrew nation wandered in the wilderness for an additional 38 years. And it was then Joshua, that's the same name as Jesus, who led them in. Well, not coincidentally, that's the same time that the lame man above that we just heard about had been sitting by the pool of Bethesda helplessly. In like manner, we are helpless to make ourselves whole. But brokenness is not our end. Wholeness is, and it's forever. So be hopeful, for you can certainly trust Jesus and Father God and His Holy Spirit to do what they have promised to do, to make everything new and whole, all of creation, heaven and earth, and all of us who live with Him and in Him. It won't be long. As Paul said, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings, that is, brokenness included, of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust Him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of His grace today.